A few years ago, indeed, as we launched our national program, The American Reader, we were joined by three gentlemen of diverse background, but of complementary and convergent interest. That is, they were all knowledgeable in the public affairs, the politics of each other's nations. And here is a brief excerpt from that conversation.
An unusual and happy circumstance. Two congressmen have joined us. They've both done their memoirs. One is P.J. Wertenbaker III, who's now in his 14th term as representative from the 22nd Congressional District of Alabama, and who is the author of the recently published book, A Congressman Remembers. Our other guest is a bit more exotic, namely Sohan Ramanathanan Holabalu, who is a member of, indeed a leading official of, the Congress Party in India, and has just had published a book titled Memoirs of a Congressman. So we have Memoirs of a Congressman and A Congressman Remembers. Gentlemen, it's very fortunate to have the two of you with us, and I would fain hear some discourse tween ye twain. Congressman Wertenbaker, to begin.
Well, I don't know this gentleman. Are you from a reservation, sir? What do you mean? I'm from the Congress Party. There is no Congress Party, sir. Well, in India, there is one. Oh, you're from India, India? You don't have to say it twice in order to make your meaning clear. I'm in the Congress Party, very, very efficient member of the Congress Party. I've been for a very long time. And we are inaugurating some new laws which are entirely different, as it were. As it were, from any other that have been brought in the very immediate past.
I'd like some equal time here. I'm here to exploit a book that I've just written. Are you doing the same thing, sir?
Yes, I am indeed. It's just been translated from the Urdu. And it's translated already into several other languages. And I want to make that quite clear.
All right, sir. I don't have a hearing problem, sir. You can talk softly to me. It's very interesting for us to know other points of view in other parts of the world. I personally have little experience outside this country, this great country of ours. That's why I'm an effective congressman of the 22nd District, as has been pointed out by our anchorman host. And I don't know what you call them up here. We have several names for them. I can't follow your reasoning, I'm afraid. We don't have such people in India. We do it all ourselves. Our is a do-it-yourself country. We don't receive any help for what we do. You see, that's what you don't seem to understand over here. Everything is done for you. We are very close to the soil. Hello? Oh, I think somebody's coming. So take the weight off us.
Yes, somebody is indeed coming, an old friend. And he's been listening to the two of you in this rather surprising discourse. Sir Peter Ustinov, the celebrated actor, writer, director, or is he writer, director, actor, or are his plays tragical, comical, pastoral, or pastoral, comical, historical?
Oh, I'm not a great one for labels, and that's why I'm not a member of either the party in Congress or the Congress Party. How do you do, gentlemen?
Hello, how are you? I'm fine. I wasn't talking to you.
And now, by a wonderful set of circumstances, I really, by virtue of the meeting of the American Booksellers Association in Chicago, those very same three gentlemen are with us once again. We've been able to persuade all three of them to take time out from their very busy schedules to join us in the studio. So here, once again, are Congressman P.J. Wertenbaker and Mr. Rajanathanan Holabalu, and, of course, Sir Peter Ustinov. And again, they've written books. Congressman Wertenbaker, your new book is The Capital with Interest.
Yes, that's right. I, of course, I've aged considerably since the last time I was here. But I came up from Mobile today in order to try and exploit this book, which seems to me only a sensible way of approaching the new contract with America, which I personally refused to sign.
Well, we certainly want to hear your views on that and why you have refused to sign it. And, Mr. Holabalu, I note that your new volume just published is titled Gandhi, Nehru, Krishna Menon, and Me.
No, well, of course, that was the publisher's idea. The original title was Me, Krishna Menon, Gandhi, and a few others. That was the original title.
But of course, you can't rely on the publishers in India these days, because anything happens with the... Unfortunately, Congress Party knew a considerable defeat in where I come from, which is Open Door. Open Door is a very liberal society in India. And I'm giving my time more to philanthropic things these days. I'm still a member of the Congress, but not of the Congress Party, but of the Rising Sun Party. Orogo Koriyamanodoi, in our particular usage.
Is that in Urdu or in Hindi?
No, that's not in Urdu, you see. Everything has changed in India for the better, actually for the worse, but it's changed anyway. Let's put it that way. And we are now no longer using all the usages which we usually did. I'm now manufacturing various Japanese imports under license. And I have stopped, and I categorically wish this to be known, I've stopped employing child labor in my carpet factory.
You both, of course, remember Sir Peter Ustinov. And, Sir Peter, you are a frequent visitor to the countries represented by our two other guests. Surely you are a frequent visitor to this country. And you've been, I'm sure, many times in India as well, have you not?
Yes, indeed I have. And I respect everybody here at the table very much. I had the pleasure of meeting them a long time ago now. Senator Wurtenbacher, you look remarkably hale for your very advanced years.
What is that? You have to speak a little louder, huh? I didn't have this problem last time I was on there, but now I have to lip read as much as anything. For that, I need my contact lenses.
And, of course, Mr. Holabaloo has probably been your host in Delhi when the last time you were there, was he?
Yes, yes. A very powerful meal, I remember, which had me gasping for breath. And but I felt myself very eloquent afterwards, because it forces you to speak a great deal in order to liberate your throat from the spices.
Three significant nations of the world are represented at this table: the United States, India, and, of course, the United Kingdom. And I'm most interested in the impressions that each of you has of the other two nations. Perhaps Mr. Holabaloo, to begin with.
Well, of course, we flatter ourselves that we are the real harbingers, as it were, of British culture, because since the British Raj has left, they have changed considerably. It's now an ill-tempered little nation which is harping the whole time about the royal family and doing other very excessive things. We are the only one who have still got the dignity. And the distance between us and events, which we are the true guardians of the English spirit as it was left to us. That is my opinion. As for America, well, we have a lot of very important Indians working in your country, and we are very proud of the fact that they hold up their heads in the society which swirls around them, as it were, everything. And I feel very strongly about it, as it were.
Well, Congressman Wurtenbacher, I wonder whether the Indian invasion, which some have called it, has in fact reached Mobile, Alabama, and other places in your district.
No, you know, we're a little backwater of pure Americana, if I can coin a phrase of that nature. And I know Mrs. Wurtenbacher spends a lot of time trying to understand the various people that have now our neighbors in our part of the world, and we try to make them very welcome. Now, we haven't seen much of the British since they left, and I was too young at the time to remember exactly the details of that. But I remember my dad telling me about the British leaving, and you know, with a fife drum and dropping tea in the harbor and all that. It was in style in those days. And with the Indians, well, I got it wrong at first. I thought it was the Cherokees, who are a personal friend of mine. We made it up at long last. Yeah, we're good friends of the Cherokee and the Seminoles. There are very few Seminoles left in that part of the world. There are no whole Noles at all, just a few Seminoles. And they're doing all right. They're doing fine. They're a very talented lot of people. So I believe it's one world. We have to change our manner, and we have to be accommodating. That's a word I like to use a lot these days.
Well, what both of you have to say is both interesting and heartening, and I'm sure that, Sir Peter, you must feel a sense of pleasure.
Yes, I am, and I haven't been able to get a word in edgewise, but...
I've noticed that.
I didn't want it, really, because I found it too interesting to learn about things that one doesn't really know about. I didn't know the way these people would brush off against each other. But they're both very charming. I see that it must be jet lag, because... Mr. Hullabaloo seems... I don't want to wake him.
Well, perhaps we'd better pause and have a restful moment of commercials, and then we'll be directly back to Sir Peter Ustinov and his two other friends. And we return now to our three friends compacted, in fact, in one, Sir Peter Ustinov, who is, of course, as close to what is called a Renaissance man, that's a cliche, I would say a universal man, in the arts and indeed in intellectual life. I am, as an old university hand myself, delighted to discover that you are the chancellor, is it? Of Durham,
yes, that's right.
Durham University.
Yeah. That's in the north of England,
mm-hmm.
with a cathedral which was begun in 1088, I think. So William the Conqueror must have brought the plans with him, I think. Awfully soon after he arrived.
Those two other fellows who were with us earlier, I believe Congressman Wurtenbaker is dozing now as well as Mr. Hullabaloo.
Yes, they're both. Yes, exactly.
They were both inventions that you and I worked out. That is, I gave you the challenge, and you rose to the challenge superbly. We first invented Senator, tonight he was Congressman, Wurtenbaker, way back perhaps some 18 years ago, the first time you were on the
program. Yes, I tried to show that he'd aged.
He has indeed.
Yes, he has. Yeah. But he's still there, of course.
And Mr. Hullabaloo, was the challenge I threw you only about 2.5 years ago when you recorded the program of which we played an excerpt at the very beginning tonight. And I think you catch not merely the intonations of English as spoken by a cultivated East Indian, but you capture something of the national character.
Well, I think the imitation is not really to do with voices.
No.
It's to do with mentality, because if you've got nothing to say in your imitation, then it doesn't really work. I remember Jack Parr suddenly saying to me, "We hear that you do a Dutchman speaking Chinese." And I just backed out of it. I said, "I have no idea what a Dutchman speaking Chinese would say. And it doesn't seem to me a very lucrative path to follow." In point of fact, you've got to know how people think in order to be able to imitate. You're really imitating a mentality, as much as anything.